Hey, early risers. How you guys doing? Welcome, welcome, welcome. Super glad you're here. Welcome to those of you that are online as well. If you happen to be a guest either place, let me introduce myself. My name is Brian Anderson. I'm one of the pastors here. Where I'm going to be teaching out of the Bible this morning is one long passage of scripture. So if you have a Bible, you have an app, open it up to the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to look at the first 13 verses. So Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 13, as we finish up our series that we've been doing by studying the book of Ecclesiastes. So Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 13. Before we dive into that, I just want to mention our offering. You know, there are lots of ways that you and I can give financially to God through our church. And when we do that, it really makes a tangible difference in lots and lots of people's lives. And I know many of you are incredibly generous and faithful to God in your giving. Thank you, thank you, thank you. May the Lord bless us whenever we give back to Him. In fact, we're going to pause for a moment. Let's pray together. Let's ask God to bless our gifts when we give those to Him, whenever we do that, because we do it at all different times. But most importantly, what I want you to do right now is I want you to say to God, God, would you speak to me out of the Bible this morning? I want you to open your heart, open your mind, and say, God, would you speak to me? Okay, would you pray with me? Lord, as we give back to you, we pray that you would take our gifts and you would use them to touch people in tangible ways. You would use them to expand the kingdom of God around the world. And you would bless not only the gifts that we give to you, Lord, but you would bless us in being faithful to you with our finances. And now, Lord, as we look into the scriptures, we do pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak very clearly to each one of us, whatever we need to hear from you. We try to put aside everything that might distract us right now, whether we're watching online or in the room, we try to put that away. And we open our hearts and minds and we say, God, speak to me, whatever I need to hear from you. I really want to learn from you today, Lord. And I know for that to happen, God, as I deliver this message, I need your empowering, so I'm asking you for that. Come and empower my words so that we would hear from you today and not from me. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the truth is, we in America, we have more time-saving devices than any country in the world. And yet, nobody complains more about a lack of time than we do as Americans, right? We're always trying to save more time. So this weekend, I want to talk about how can I make the most of my time. I want you to say it out loud. How can I make the most of my time? And thankfully, in the book of Ecclesiastes, King Solomon actually gives us some help in making the most of our time. And the first thing that King Solomon says is if we want to make the most of our time, is we need to accept that God has a purpose in both good and bad times in my life. God has a purpose in both the good times and the bad times in my life. Solomon says in chapter 3, verse 1, there's a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven. You know what he's saying there? He's saying that God doesn't do anything by accident. He's saying God has a purpose and a plan and even a time behind everything that he does. See, life is made up of contrasts. And that's the next thing that King Solomon says. King Solomon names 14 different contrasts. And he starts out with something that is totally out of our control. The day of our birth and the day of our death. Look at verses 2 to 8. There's a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to harvest. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to rebuild. A time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away. Some of you need to underline that part. Some of you hoarders out there, there is a time to throw away. It's in the Bible, all right? Verse 7, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak up, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. The point is, there are 14 positive times and 14 negative times in our life, and both of them have a place in our life. Solomon is saying life is a combination of both good things and bad things. Have you found that to be true? Life is a combination of good things and bad things, isn't it? Look at verse 11. It says this, God has made everything beautiful for its own time. Not everything is beautiful. Everything is beautiful for its own time. You know what that means? That means even bad times in our life can be used by God to bring out beauty inside of us. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever found that even bad times, as you look back over the years, God used them to produce something good inside of you? I found that to be true in my life. As I look back over my life, the times that I've grown the most spiritually were not in the mountaintops, not during the good seasons, the good times of life. The times that I've really grown the most spiritually were during the times that I didn't want to experience, during the difficult times, the bad times. You know, my wife and I, for over two decades, we struggled with infertility. If you know anybody who's struggled with infertility, or you have, you know how painful it is. That was a very difficult time, but as we look back, we see the hand of God working beauty inside of us through that bad time. You know, I've struggled with chronic pain for many, many years. You know, starting when I was about 30 years old, I had a back injury and struggled with chronic pain. So I've been struggling with chronic pain now. When I was 30, that's about 5 or 6 years ago, I've been struggling with chronic pain. Some of you laughed way too quickly on that. You know, chronic pain, as a pastor, you go through lots of betrayal over the years, which is very, very difficult. But as I look back over those difficult times, those difficult seasons, those times when I would say, I would never want to go through that, that's when God worked beauty in me way more than during the good times. Now, if we had our own way, for the most part, we would only want good things to happen to us, right? We wouldn't want to have any problems, any pain, any heartache. But if that happened to us all the time, you know what we would be? We would be spoiled brats. Both good times and bad times have a place in our life. And the truth is, if Jesus Christ is at the center of your life, even the mundane tasks of your life are a part of God's will. You know, some of you feel like that you're only in God's will when you're like reading the Bible, or you're praying, or you're at church, or you're at small group. That's the only time you're really sort of in God's will. That's not the truth. If Jesus really is the Lord of your life, if he's the center of your life, then every single thing that you do in life, except when you choose to sin, every other thing that you choose to do, even the mundane things in life, are part of God's will for you. Mowing the lawn is part of God's will. Taking out the garbage, going to work, being involved in recreation, whatever it is, it's all appropriate in its time. Second thing, if I want to make the most of my time, is I need to trust God when I don't know why something is happening to me. I need to trust God when I don't know why. Look back at verse 11. God has made everything beautiful for its own time. Then I want you to underline this next part. God has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people can't see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. Now, when he says God has planted eternity in the human heart, what that means, at least part of what that means, is that all of us as human beings, we have this inborn desire to know and to understand the future. We want to know and understand the future. See, we as human beings, we have a desire for immortality. And that's one of the things that sets us apart from animals. You know, your dog, that's a picture of our dog, Candy. Isn't she cute? My daughter, for her 10th birthday, wanted to get a dog. She pestered us for 5 years. I finally gave in. I never wanted to get a dog. But man, I love that dog now. Candy, she's a sweet dog. But your dog is not interested in retirement. All your dog is interested in is the next meal. All Candy's interested in is the next meal. She's not thinking about retirement. But we, as human beings, we're thinking ahead. We have this eternity put in our hearts. Now, back in verse 11, it says, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. In other words, we have a limited perspective. We have finite minds. Our minds are not big enough to handle all of God's plans. See, if we could figure out everything God was going to do in our life, we would be God. And so God says, you can't know everything. I'm not going to disclose everything to you. We only see our current situation, but God sees the end result. In other words, when we're in a difficult circumstance, all we see is the painful process, but God sees the finished product. We see the ugly caterpillar. God sees the beautiful butterfly. Because that's what God is doing in our lives. He's transforming us. He's shaving off our rough edges. But when we're in the midst of a circumstance where God is wanting to shave off some of our rough edges, it's really hard to see what God is doing, isn't it? We just see the here and now. But God is looking at the long-term project that he's doing in our life. So what do we need to do? We need to learn to trust God even when we don't understand why something is happening. Now, you may be thinking, well, Brian, why doesn't God tell us why some things are happening to us? Here's the answer. Because God wants to remind us that he's God and we're not. He's God, and we're not. If you're here this morning with somebody, turn to them and say, he's God, and you're not. He's God, and you're not. And God wants to remind us of that on a regular basis. We are not God. So why does God keep things hidden from us at times? Not only to show us that he's God and we're not, but also, because God wants us to learn to trust him. God wants us to learn to trust him. You know what learning to trust God is called in the Bible? It's called faith. Faith. F-A-I-T-H. If you're in the chat, put the word faith in the chat right now. You know, Hebrews 11:6, I don't have it in your outline, but Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to what? To please God. It's impossible. God is trying to work faith inside of us. And so we have to accept the fact that there's both good things and bad things that happen in life. And God will use both of them in his long-term project called our lives. And for those things that we just can't figure out, what we need to say is, we need to say, God, I don't know what you're doing with me in right now, but I choose to trust you. I choose to trust you. If I want to make the most of my time, I have to trust God when I don't know why something is happening to me. The third thing that I have to do if I want to make the most of my time, I have to utilize the present time wisely. Utilize the present time wisely. In other words, don't waste the present. And how do you not waste the present? By doing good. Look at verse 12. Solomon says, I know that there's nothing better for them in context. He's talking about people. I know that there's nothing better for people than to rejoice and to, underline these three words, to do good in one's lifetime. There's nothing better for people than to rejoice and to do good in one's lifetime. He's saying, in your life, you need to be thinking about other people and doing good to other people and not just thinking about yourself. And it's interesting. We hear people say all the time, well, I just want to live the good life. Well, you know what the good life is? The good life is a life that's committed to doing good. That's what the good life really is. Let me ask you, is your life committed to doing good? Is that what your life is about? Committed to doing good? God wants your life to be committed to doing good if you're a follower of Jesus. In fact, the Apostle Paul said like this in Ephesians 2:10, he said, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, before we were born, so that we would walk in them. Paul's telling us that God didn't put us here on this earth just to live for ourselves. He put us on this earth for good works, to be a blessing to other people. Let me ask you, are you a blessing to the people you work with? Are you a blessing to the people in your neighborhood? Are you a blessing to the people in your family, in your extended family? God wants you to be a blessing. Because, see, life is a test. This is actually sort of like a dress rehearsal for eternity. You get 70, 80, 90, maybe 100 years on this side of death. And then comes the rest of eternity. And the Bible says that if you know Jesus Christ personally here on earth, and depending on how you spend your life here on earth, that determines where and how you're going to spend the rest of eternity. See, what I'm saying is life is preparation for eternity. God wants us to live with that perspective. God wants us to think beyond ourselves while we're here on this earth, because God has good works for us to be involved in here on this earth. He planned those good works before you were ever born. He planned those for you. So, if God has created us for a life of good works, and he has, then ask yourself this question. Am I doing what God created me to do? Am I actually doing what God created me to do? If not, then you need to reevaluate your life. Because the Bible says one day, you're going to stand before Jesus. And one of the things that Jesus will ask you is, what did you do with what I gave you? I gave you some time. I gave you some energy. I gave you some money. I gave you some talents. I gave you some relationships. I gave you some opportunities. What did you do with what I gave you? Did you use those things for good. Again, let me ask you, are you doing what God created you to do? I love the way Solomon says it in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 3. If you don't know, King Solomon not only wrote Ecclesiastes and he wrote the Song of Solomon, but he also wrote most of the book of Proverbs. And he says in Proverbs 3, verse 27, "Don't withhold good from those to whom it is due when it's in your power to do it." In other words, do what you can while you can. He's saying there's no better time to do good than now. He's saying utilize the present because you have no guarantee of the future. He's saying do it now. But you know what I found? I found that so many people are always sort of waiting to start living. They're kind of getting ready to start living. Well, I'll start really living when I get to this level, you know, economically. Or I'll really start living when I retire. I'll really start living when we have kids. I'll really start living when the kids leave home, whatever it is. But regardless of your situation, God wants you to start doing now the things that He's called you to do. Like the old saying, do your giving while you're living, then you're knowing where it's going. In other words, you won't enjoy, quote, giving to other people after you're dead. So do it now. Maybe God has been speaking to you about writing somebody a thank you note. Do it now. Do your giving while you're living. Then you're knowing where it's going. Make that phone call now. Buy those flowers now. Take that class now. Get involved in that ministry now. Give that donation that you've been thinking about giving. Do it now. Join that small group now. If you want to make the most of your time, you have to utilize your present time wisely. The fourth part of making the most of my time, I have to appreciate all my time as a gift from God, because that's what it is. It's a gift from God. Look at verse 13. And people should eat and drink and enjoy, underline the word enjoy, enjoy the fruits of their labor, for these are gifts from God. See, your time is God's gift. You didn't earn the time that you have. It's a gift. In fact, you wouldn't have any time at all if God didn't choose to give it to you as a gift. And what are we supposed to do with a gift? We're supposed to enjoy it. We're supposed to enjoy the gifts that we receive. See, God wants you to enjoy life, not just endure life. God wants you to enjoy it. Look at Ecclesiastes 11:8. When people live to be very old, let them rejoice in every day of life. He's saying, live each moment to the fullest. Appreciate the time that you have because it's a gift. Live each day with a grateful attitude that God has gifted you another day. You know, think about it like this. If you were told by the federal government, you have $86,400 that we will give you every 24 hours to spend any way you want as a free gift, no strings attached. But at the end of that 24-hour period, that $86,400, whatever you have left over, it doesn't roll over into the next day. You'd do some serious thinking about the best way to use that money, right? Well, every morning, your Heavenly Father deposits 86,400 seconds into your personal time account. And you get to choose how you're going to use those. But they don't roll over. If we don't use them well now, we don't get to use them tomorrow in a better way. See, time is a gift that's to be used and enjoyed. We're to appreciate all the time that God has given us as a gift. And then the fifth thing of making the most of my time, I need to anticipate giving an account of my time to God, because I will. I will give an account of my time to God one day. And we need to be prepared for that. Every single day, we need to live, as the Bible says, with one eye, so to speak, on eternity. That there is coming a day when we're going to give an account. In fact, look at the way Paul says it in Romans 14, 12. So that each one of us shall give account of himself to God. Did you know that? Each one of us, we're going to give an account of our life to God. Now you might say, well, Brian, why do you think God is going to judge the way that I use my time? I'll tell you why. Because time is life. Time is our most precious commodity. Time is way more valuable than money. You know why? Because money is a renewable resource. If you lose money, you can get more of it later. If you lose time, it's gone forever. It's not a renewable resource. It's our most precious commodity. And if time is our most precious commodity, and it is, then guess what? Wasting time is one of our biggest sins. Because when we waste time, we're wasting life. In fact, I love how Paul said it to the Ephesians. In Ephesians 5, he said, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, underline this part, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Are you making the most of your time? You say, well, how do we do that? How do we make the most of our time? Let me give you four questions to ask yourself on a regular basis that will help you to make the most of your time. Very quickly, ask yourself, what can I learn from this moment? See, every moment is a teachable moment. And God wants to make us like Jesus. So, what can I learn from this particular moment? Second question to ask yourself that'll help you make the most of your time, what good can I do in this moment? What good could I do for someone else? What good could I do for God? Third question, what can I enjoy in this moment? What can I be grateful for in this moment? And last of all, how can I trust God in this moment? Because if you make Jesus Christ the center of your life, then all the seasons of life become relevant and important. Are you spending your time wisely? In fact, let me ask it this way. What is it that you know God has been speaking to you about, maybe for a long time, maybe for a short time, but you know it's something God has been speaking to your heart about, but you still haven't done it? Do it now. Don't waste any more of your life. Do it now. Maybe for you, it's getting involved in a ministry. You know God has been speaking to you about serving, about getting involved. Do it now. Maybe for you, it's being water baptized. You know God has been speaking to you about that, and you keep having excuses. You keep putting it off. Don't put it off any longer. Our next water baptism is mid-January. Do it then. Sign up. Do it then. Take our baptism class. Maybe for you, God has been speaking to you about doing your money God's way. God has been speaking to you about tithing, and you still haven't done it. Be obedient to God. Do it now. Maybe it's about joining the church. You've just been sort of a casual attender. God doesn't want you to do that as we go into 2021. He wants you to be committed. He wants you to be part of the family, not just a spectator. He wants you to take our newcomers class and become a member of the church. Maybe it's a particular other class that God might want you to take. Or maybe God has been speaking to you about starting a quiet time. And you still haven't done it. You know, as we get to the end of 2020, thank God, and we turn into 2021, we should be thinking about what are the goals that we want to set for our lives? Spiritual goals, emotional goals, physical goals, relational goals. What are some of those goals that you know God is wanting you to accomplish? You need to sit down sometime between now and the end of the year and set some goals for yourself for 2021. Don't wait. Don't keep putting it off. Like Solomon said, if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. Let's make the most of our time. Would you pray with me? You know, as we're in an attitude of prayer, no matter if you're online or here in this room, in an attitude of prayer, would you just open your heart even deeper to what the Holy Spirit of God might want to do in you right now? Come, Holy Spirit. Have your way in a deep way in every heart and every mind. I know, God, that you're speaking to people about time because time is life. And forgive us, oh God, for all the times that we've wasted our time and wasted our life. God, we want to make the most of our time because the days are evil. And I know, God, that you've been speaking to many hearts about different areas of their life that you're wanting them to do some things in as this calendar year comes to the end and we go into a new year. God, really speak clearly to each person. And if God is speaking to you about a particular thing, you need to say yes to him right now. You need to get right. Say, yes, God, I am going to get baptized in January. Yes, God, I am going to start a daily quiet time. Yes, God, I am going to start tithing. Yes, God, I am going to become a member. Yes, God, I am going to begin serving. Whatever it is for you. Yes, God, I am going to work on my physical body. As we get into this next year, I'm going to start exercising, whatever it is. Yes, God. And maybe you'd like somebody to pray for you before you go. We'll have a ministry team here at the front after I dismiss the service in a couple of minutes. If you want to stick around, we'd love to pray for you. If you want to receive prayer online, just click the prayer button, put you in a private chat. We'd love to pray with you. But before we go, I just want to remind you, you know, we have some of our most important services of the year coming up this coming week. Our Christmas Eve services, obviously it's different with COVID and all that, but we're going to have five identical services. They're going to be five in person and five online simultaneously. And by your and my simple invitations, our invitation could be used by God to change somebody's eternity. God has used our Christmas Eve services to bring so many people into a relationship with Jesus Christ over the years and over the decades. It's incredible. And God will use our simple invitations this year too. And I know that all of you, you're working around people that are waiting for an invitation. They don't even know it yet. But your simple invitation could change their eternity. You live on the same street with people who need an invitation to a Christmas Eve service. You can invite them online. You can invite them in person. On your way out in the tunnels, we have some invitation cards, some six packs that you can take with you. But there are lots of ways you can invite. Invite people on Facebook. Invite people, go on our website, vineyardnorthphoenix.com, send them an evite if you know their email address. There are so many ways, and by you and I just taking a few minutes to pray and ask God, God, who do you want me to invite? God could take our simple invitation, use it in somebody's life, they come to the church, or they get online, they surrender their life to Jesus, and their entire eternity is changed because you took a risk. It really matters. It really does. So I want to challenge every one of us. Invite in the next few days leading up to the 23rd and the 24th. And then please be praying that God would really move in those Christmas Eve services. I'm going to give a very clear call to receive Christ and give an opportunity for people to receive Christ who want to do that. So please be praying for that. It's going to be a festive, really fun, upbeat time together. You're not going to want to miss it, and you'll be very proud for inviting your coworkers and your friends and your neighbors to participate with you, and it could change their entire eternity. So let's invite, okay? Before we go, I want to pray a blessing over us. So if you're here, please stand. Those of you that are online, I want to pray for you as well. And then please invite. And if the ministry time would come, ministry team would come to the front right now, that'd be great. Lord, thank you for this upcoming season where the entire world is thinking about the birth of Jesus. May you use it, oh God, to bring many to faith in Jesus Christ all over the world in these upcoming days. And God, I pray that you would put a burden on each one of us, of different people that we work with, that we live around, that we're friends with, that we're related to, that you're wanting us to invite. And as we risk and invite them, God, would you prepare their hearts ahead of time, and would you draw them to yourself. And I pray for all my friends now as they go, Lord, bless each one, bless them, keep them. Cause your face to shine upon them. Be gracious to them. Lift up your favor to them, God, and give them peace now. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Say hi to some people. Wave to them on the way out. Be praying for Christmas Eve. We'll see you soon. God bless.